shape of my heart.
Ooh.
I'm more an NSYNC girl than
same, you know.
Or we've never talked about this.
Yeah, I'm more NSYNC than Backstreet.
Here we go.
Yeah,
here we go.
Hi.
Hey, y'all.
$1 million question. Can you see us? Can you hear us?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. $1 million question.
$1 million question.
Or Backstreet
NSYNC
Boys.
NSYNC or Backstreet Boys.
I gotta take my shoes off. I'm too tall.
NSYNC.
Justine, what?
And your age. I'm just kidding.
Both, Lexi. Classic both and. Whoa, Rebecca. Whoa. Backstreet.
Guys.
Anyway, I was recounting. I heard this Backstreet Boys song. This place after retreat, we went out to eat super late. It was like the only thing open. And anyway, wow. They had the most unbelievable millennial playlist. And Backstreet, I've had that song in my head for like 2 days now. And I don't even, Justine, I'm sorry, but welcome to my world. This has been stuck in my head for 2 days. Are we on YouTube as well?
We sure are.
You guys, hi. I'm just not seeing anyone comment.
Where are the chat?
So I'm not connected to you.
Here we go.
Hi, Kaylee.
Oh, we got a little BSB fan over there.
BS boy. I've never even heard BSB.
Yeah.
That's so
okay.
Sweet.
My oldest sister is Backstreet Boys.
Noelle, stop with the 98 Thank degrees. You. We're not.
Ooh, it's a contender.
It's not.
No, it's not. It's not in this.
Name one 98 degrees song.
I'm sure if I would like really sit down and think of it, I can.
One.
New Kids on the Block.
Talk about I was in elementary school. Wow, New Kids on the Block. I got a New Kids on the Block doll. Barbie. You know what I mean? Figurine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think for maybe my 8th birthday. And he had a. Who's the guy with the tail?
I don't know.
That's what I got. I had that doll with the tail.
Oh my gosh. That might be my best
memory. My sister, Tanya.
That is a repressed memory. Holy moly.
She had the Justin Timberlake puppet NSYNC.
What are you talking about?
From the album. What was the name of that album?
Burr, 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 burr.
Exactly.
It's gonna be me. I had Lance.
I liked Lance too.
Me too, Brendan.
I'm like, nobody is on Team Lance.
I did not see that coming. I thought Lance was. Yeah, I thought.
Look, Jennifer had all of the NSYNC marionettes.
Excuse me.
Bobbleheads.
Wow.
I love the Beatles.
I do too.
I mean, that's a different category entirely. That blows all these people out of the water. Has one person named a 98 degrees song?
What
still
is
haven't
it?
Seen it? Still haven't
it's
seen
it. It's the one when they're on the beach and they're like walking.
Looking. Wow. CMC Camley.
What? Oh, Ireland.
You are insane. You are an instrument of the Holy Spirit right now. I literally 30 seconds before we went live, I felt the Lord invite me to go to Ireland, and I was like, no. I said, you have to confirm it.
If you want me to cherish you.
I do cherish you.
Oh, I was too busy listening to grunge rock.
Hilarious.
Hey, so was I.
Excuse me, Rhonda? Please tell us who. Tell me. Because I am a not so closet, because I'll tell everybody, I'm a big Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy is my
jam.
I'm Taking Back Sunday.
That's a band?
Yeah, it's a band.
I don't know that.
It's pre-Fall Out Boy.
One song that I would know.
Of Taking Back Sunday?
Yeah.
Their most famous one is called Cute Without the E. It's a little, you know.
Cut?
Yeah. They're heartbroken.
Stop.
Jimmy Eat World, classic. I used one of their songs for a retreat talk.
I'm just singing all the songs now.
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Stone Temple Pilots.
Wow.
Guys, how about who was I gonna say?
I don't know.
Wow,
who were you?
They escaped me. Anyway, I watched Trolls Band Together, and if you guys have seen this,
is that a movie?
Yeah, it's like the third Trolls movie.
I didn't even know.
NSYNC comes out at the end as Trolls.
Yeah. Aubrey knows. Aubrey probably had a holy hour with it. Honestly, Aubrey got something deep from it. I know, Obs. I know you're. Now let me show you. the shape that I was trying to say. I know the shape of your heart.
Wow. Could have shared iPods.
Yeah. Aubrey, what? The first Trolls movie is so important to me. Can you bullet point why? Like, I want to know some things.
Oh, I know. They teased us, Rebecca. We thought it was a reunion.
What
are
you talking about?
And NSYNC came together to put out a new song. It was only for the movie.
I did not know that.
Like, why not just go on tour?
I thought that's what they were doing. It was.
We all did. We were bamboozled.
Now, listen, I knew about this reunion, not from Trolls, but from First We Feast, the Hot Wings YouTube channel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they were so dumb on there. Yeah. I was like, you guys.
I could have gone without.
You were better in my high school memory than you are. That's, yeah.
Oh, they did go back and tour again. New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, they definitely did. They definitely did. Jan, who was your, we're talking different generations here, I know. So tell me, who was your boy band? Ooh. Who was your, who was your favorite band? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Or group.
True to your heart, no idea. Never seen Mulan. Never seen Mulan.
Mulan is my favorite.
It's a source
movie.
Of contention here. On
where's
staff.
Jenna? Where's
Hello,
Jenna?
Hello, Cassandra. G Machiavelli loves 98 Degrees too.
Guys,
you're not alone, Noelle. You got a friend over here.
I used to watch the Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson reality TV show, where she's like, "Is this chicken
or is this tuna?" Yeah, no, I remember. That's it.
Pierce the Veil.
Funny. Is that a band?
Yeah,
Jada?
It was an emo band.
Wow.
You know they have like emo nights now.
Debbie, hi! 80s. 80s girl. Mm. Hit us. Hit me with your best shot. What's your thing? Tell me everything. Hi, Brenda. Welcome. Brenda,
guys!
I had to Google who won the Super Bowl. I had no idea.
Friend.
I can't do it.
I never got into the Jonas Brothers.
They've got some hits. They have
some bots.
Aubrey... I'm out with you. Love Dixie Chicks. That was my first concert ever.
I think they're just called the Chicks now.
They will forever be the Dixie Chicks. And I honestly, it makes me want to get out their first album again. That is.
Can I tell you a secret?
The nostalgia is washing over me.
Okay.
Right now. Oh, can I tell you?
Tell me.
Okay. So we're at this Zips like sports bar having dinner. They're playing the most amazing playlist of all time, millennial hits. And I was like, this is reminding me. I have a playlist on my phone called Nostalgia. I pull it out. Father Michael, he's digging through his pocket. No, wait. Pulls it out. He's got a Nostalgia playlist.
I love it.
I was like, can we swap?
We
had a lot of overlapping.
But mine's like R&B. It's not.
Excuse me?
I'll share that with you later.
Yes, please. Love it.
Oh, so I was going to say, I used to have this Shania Twain album. I know.
The best album.
And I loved playing it on the weekends and dancing around and cleaning the living room to it.
Cheryl, I don't know what's going on with Toby Keith.
He, rest in peace, he passed away.
I did not know that. Like recently?
Yeah, like last week.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh my. May the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God. Rest in peace. Amen.
Amen.
I did not know that. Sorry for your loss, Cheryl.
Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. Wow, Beach Boys. That's good.
What
wow.
about Earth, Wind, and Fire, guys?
I just know that one song. Do you remember the 21st night of September?
I do remember it.
Rick Springfield, no idea. It is Fat Tuesday, so this is an appropriate story. One year for Lent, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do for Lent? And he said, dance every day. And I was like, no. Then I started crying, so I knew it was it. And I was like, fine. I made a playlist. Some of you know this. I talk about this. I made a playlist of dance songs.
Love it.
It is joy in a playlist. To like put on that dance playlist does wonders. For my heart and soul and body and mental health. You know what I mean? Highly recommend.
Ooh.
Highly recommend.
Okay. Some people are talking about Virtue already.
So. Oh, we're getting into the virtues. I'm sorry. I'm over here talking about Backstreet Boys, nostalgia playlists. And you guys are like, can we get to the good stuff? Can we get
to the good?
I thought the same thing. We're on a little music kick.
I was all over the place with music in high school. Everything from rock to classical to boy bands to female singer-songwriters.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
I love it.
All right. Today we thought we would talk about, I don't even know, Steph. We didn't touch base on this. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned. I'm curious. What are you going to say about virtue?
When all else fails. The catechism, you know,
here we go.
So I looked it up last night, did my little homework.
So sweet. What teach us?
Well, I think it was more of an affirmation of like, I think, and it's perfect timing because we're getting into Lent, right? And we're taking on or fasting from certain things. And the hope is that they help us kind of orient our lives back to the way the Lord is calling us mm-hmm. to live. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was great timing because the hope is that whatever we choose to do during Lent, it does create this virtue in us to continue to seek the good, to continue to hear and live in the Lord's presence and to be followers of him. So I just thought that it was good timing because we're getting into Lent and maybe that could be some encouragement to us is like, I'm doing this literally because I just want to think of all that is good and pure and, you know, have my mind on these heavenly things, these things that will bring good out of me. And that should be the ultimate goal, not like I completed this checklist and I'm done. You know, I was thinking about that. I'm listening to Bible in a Year. I've said this probably every Q&A since because I love the accountability.
Are you behind?
I'm way behind.
Me too.
But you know what?
I just got behind.
I'm still listening. And I'm like, usually at this point, I would have quit. I would have been like, well, I'm too far behind. And I'm like,
no.
So this morning, I literally thanked the Lord. I was like, thank you that like you haven't let me quit. Yeah. And I was just thinking about that. Like, it's just the practice of showing up every day. And the Lord's going to bless that.
Yeah.
Like, this is bringing forth virtue. This is not, I'm not on day, whatever day we're on now, 50 something. I'm on my day 24. And the Lord, but what I'm getting to is like, it's brought about this practice and like this discipline almost of not trying to fall off and just keep going despite being behind.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
There we go.
Renee. Wow, good for you, Renee. Keep going.
We're all in this together.
You know, I'm just kicking myself because I read the most incredible thing about virtue in Divine Intimacy 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. About like the road to perfection and how like beyond, oh, what was the last one? Like the last one is like perfection and then no, I have the wrong word. Anyway, the last step is heroic virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not just like goodness. It's like heroic virtue above and beyond. Megan, can you find that for me? I know you have to find intimacy. Do that little search feature you use.
Megan said, my pastor loves to quote Aristotle's definition of virtue. The mean between two extremes.
Wow, that's cool. I don't know, Megan. It could be around 75. That's where I was reading this week. Okay, my big takeaway that I'm pondering about virtue came in confession on Friday night.
Oh, Beth.
What? And it was such a massive grace. I can't even tell you. I finished confessing all of my,
you
first of all,
confession on Friday.
First of all, I had to mortify my, well, here's what happened. I had a hair appointment. I normally go every Wednesday. I have a date night with the Lord, confession, mass. We go to dinner. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet. But I had a hair appointment trying to get it done before my birthday, before retreat. And I got there and they'd already stopped hearing confessions for the night. I was like, bummer. But I felt like the Lord wanted me to go on retreat, which I normally do not
I
do.
Know.
I know. I'm telling the whole team, go to confession.
Yeah.
But I felt the Lord being like, no, go on the retreat.
I love
there will
that
be
for
so
you.
Many holy priests there, like go on retreat. So then our chaplain, Father Michael, got there early and he's like, hey, I'll hop in the confessional. I was like, Lord, no. I want to be friends with him. I don't want to go. But I went. I went to confession and it was life-changing. I had spiritual direction yesterday. I was talking about it so much. Basically, I finished all of my, I'm just like so mortified in the very best way. You know what I mean? And he says, sounds like virtue is hard for you.
Yeah, what?
Exactly. And I want to tell you something. It was such a moment of grace because my heart was pierced.
I would have cried.
But in the best way, I just started, I just chuckled. I was like, it really is. Virtue is really hard for me. And I like joke all the time with Jenna. Like virtue comes so easily to Jenna. Mm. She would say it doesn't, but like Jenna can overcome herself easier than I can, you know? And he said, sounds like virtue is hard for you. And I was like, yeah.
Wow.
But it was, this is the grace, is that when my heart was like literally pierced, I felt that and I wanted to be embarrassed. There was no shame. It was just like
freedom.
It was true humility. I was like, that's true. It is hard for me. And I felt my heart was so soft to receive that, to actually own it and say, virtue is really hard for me, you know?
Wow, Beth.
And then he said, but I feel bad for people for whom virtue comes easily. Because you can begin to believe that you don't need God, that you can do it on your own. I was like, excuse me. Yeah. So the fact that I, right? Well, there's more. There's more. So he said, you can wonder, I understand, I know this. You can wonder, I've been at this so long. Some of this was in his homily later. You've been at this so long. Why aren't you better? Why haven't you overcome these things? You can get discouraged and think like, am I defective? What's wrong with me? He said, you're not defective. You're dependent. And that is a grace. So actually virtue not coming easily to me is a grace because it makes me more dependent on the Lord. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that so good?
I'm still thinking about his homily.
Me too.
I told him, I said, I felt like the Lord didn't want me to leave without focusing on that homily. Like that was for me. That was like, I needed to hear that. And just like that idea, I was like, the Lord delights in being my savior. And we say this and it sounds great, but like truly, even now, we've been at this for years, Lord.
Man. Yeah, that homily. Honestly, I thought during it, I wish I was taking notes. Hi, Caroline. I wish I was taking notes to the homily. And then this like peace washed over me. It's recorded. It's on the virtual retreat. So I can go back. And then I called Lexi the next day. How did virtual retreat go? What was it like from that end? She's like, oh, I was just listening to Father Michael's homily again. I was like, I get it. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Ladies.
It is recorded. Yeah.
Anyone can purchase.
Three times, Lexi, you've listened to it. Wow.
Anyone can purchase this virtual retreat and have access to all of the talks. I told Beth, like, I can't wait to go listen to your workshop.
Yeah, Yesenia, you can. Mm-hmm. You can listen to there. What is that? Six talks from the weekend. I don't know. Are they up yet? I tried to look in the channel. I think they were all live events, but I don't know if the recorded's up yet.
They might be up. That's a great point. They should be up by the end of the week then. If they're not.
Yeah.
Into the...
I didn't see them. I didn't see them yesterday.
Ooh.
That's it, G. Humility is even more important when cultivating virtue. Someone says it, some saint, John of the Cross, Augustine, somebody says, Teresa of Avila, the first mansion is humility, is self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. This is me paraphrasing, but like this is a theme in all of the writings of the saints, the great saints, that humility has to come first. Yeah. So that was a real grace for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to define, because I think someone in the comments asked, like, can we start by defining what virtue is?
Yeah, it's very good.
And so we hear the word virtue, we hear no virtues or what, but there are, like, what is virtue in general? So I'm going to read from the catechism. This is paragraph 1803. And so it says, a virtue is a habitual and firm disposition to do the good. It allows the person not only to perform good acts, but to give the best of himself. The virtuous person tends towards the good with all his sensory and spiritual powers. He pursues the good and chooses it in concrete actions.
Wow. Can we just read that line by line and talk about, I feel like there's a lot there. It's so hot.
So first, a virtue is a habitual and firm disposition to do the good.
Yes.
So not like,
say something.
Not like an accidental, glad that happened for you. Like I think I was in a philosophy class with Dr. Hanning years ago with you at Umeri, and yeah. It was one of the things he talked about is like virtue. It's like, if you were to be an example would be like, if you're walking down this street and your jacket accidentally falls and it falls over a puddle and someone gets to walk over it and they don't get wet, that's great. But if you are intentionally taking off your jacket to put it on the puddle so that someone can have a better experience, then that would be virtuous. When you are consciously working to do something because of your inclination for good, and then you do good. Mm. Instead of like, well, oh, my jacket fell, but I'm glad you were able to step over it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like there's intentionality there.
Yes. I love that. I love that word, like the disposition to do the good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, next line.
Like, this is my desire. This is what I want. Even if the circumstance has not yet presented itself to me, I desire to choose the good. Mm-hmm. It's a disposition. I love that.
Yes. Okay. It allows the person not only to perform good acts, but to give the best of himself.
Mm. Wow.
I'm getting the word integrity.
Wow.
Like just wanting to be a person of integrity.
It makes me give the best of themselves is just something. I wrote a devotion on it. It's not coming out for like 2 months, but just this. Very theology of the body. It's very JP2. Mm-hmm. It's Thomas Aquinas's definition of love, like as a gift of self. Yeah. So human, that's so interesting to make that connection for me, that virtue is the concrete way of giving the gift of self.
Mm.
Okay.
I would also say that it's kind of what we've been talking about. Oh, sorry. I put 1308. It's 1803. We've been talking about living in this overflow. I think that's also part of it.
Yeah, right?
Okay, next line. The virtuous person tends toward the good with all his sensory and spiritual powers. He pursues the good and chooses it in concrete actions.
Yeah, so good. I loved that. The catechism, what a treasure trove.
Yeah.
So a couple of comments here I would love to just linger with before we move the party over to app exclusively. Can we go back? Tell me, first of all, is it Ariel or Ariel? Just curious. Okay, I'm finding that living in the guilt and shame of sin and mistakes is more comfortable than receiving the Lord's mercy and love. I don't know, I subconsciously think that I have to earn it. And if I don't constantly feel the guilt and shame, then I'm not sorry. Any saints or suggestions? Mm. Yeah, honestly, you're going to think, but what you're describing is the homily from the virtual, from the Drawn Retreat this weekend. He said, like, we go and we receive the Lord's mercy. And then somehow, even though the God of the universe, the savior of the world can forgive us, we somehow have higher standards for ourselves than Jesus does. Mm-hmm. We are not willing to forgive ourselves, but Jesus is. That thing, when he said we have higher standards for ourselves than God does, I was like, so good. Yeah. So, so good.
Yeah. Suggestions. I would say, we shared a little bit, pray for humility.
Yeah.
You know, we put God in his rightful place and we are dependent on him, like we've talked about. So I would pray for humility that the Lord is going to work for good in our lives and that I don't decide when I'm forgiven. Mm-hmm. The Lord, I just accept that he has forgiven me. Going to confession, like there's nothing, I don't think you can go too much. Personally, like,
yeah, no, I agree.
There's nothing like going to confession and literally, I think that's the beauty of the Catholic Church is like receiving mercy, having an audible, just love and message come to you. Like the Lord forgives you, sees you. He's proud of you for going to confession. Man, I think that sin starts to help us chisel a sin. I think it's just, we kind of build callus for more sin, you know,
and good.
Confession chisels that away. Like, no, like you're so good under that protection that you're trying to make for yourself.
Yeah. You'll see in the Lent devotional this year, every Saturday is set aside for the sacrament of confession. We're really trying to forge or establish or increase in frequency, regular confession. And I share catechism references in there to really develop a love and an understanding of the sacrament. And one of the days, I want to say it's like week three or four, talks about how the church encourages us to go to confession for venial sins. Like if we want to advance on the way of perfection, we have to rid ourselves with God's grace and by his light. We have to rid ourselves of even attachments, like interior attachments, little sins. Like the way divine intimacy is talking about this right now, which is a daily devotional that I do, that I know many of you do as well. Divine intimacy, Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene is describing these interior attachments, these what we think are little sins. If there's any stain of sin on our souls, it prevents us from perfect union with God. So we aspire to rid ourselves of any attachment, of any proclivity, of any desire and delight in these little selfish sins. And that was so interesting. John of the Cross gives this beautiful analogy of like sunlight coming through a window. And I'm not going to do it justice at all. It's so poetic. I love him. Pray for us. Talks about this sunlight coming through a dirty window. Mm-hmm. You can still see the light, but it's muddled and you can't quite see through it. But when the pane of glass becomes translucent, when it's totally clear, it not only radiates, it not only displays the light of the sun with like perfect clarity, you actually confuse the pane of glass with the sun itself. Like it's becoming so like the sun. Isn't that an insane image?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Today, I read a different one where he talks about these like little attachments and how like if a bird is fettered, chained with like a thick rope or just like a little thread, the point is it cannot fly. No matter if it's this like substantial rope or just a thin thread, it still cannot fly. It's still fettered. Mm-hmm. So this is why we go to confession, to free ourselves of any difference to God's grace in our lives.
Yeah. To put light.
For him to free us. Yeah. I'm sorry.
To bring his light in, I think, to any little crevice of darkness, you know?
Megan, you found it. I just love you so much. This is what I was saying at the very beginning. The lukewarm must become fervent. The fervent must reach perfection. The perfect must attain heroic virtue. There is something beyond perfection, even. Like there's more. There's always more with the Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you want to read any of these? We love a good divine intimacy.
Okay. Should we hop over?
Yeah. We'll continue. We'll continue over there. I do just, Annalise, I saw your comment over here on YouTube and I love that. This Lent, I'm going to give up avoiding prayer. And I want to share with you a life hack. A friend of mine this weekend on retreat said that they prayed for the grace of FOMO for prayer.
Oh.
Yeah, because other things can like keep us from approaching prayer, but we want to actually start feeling like, I don't want to miss this. Mm-hmm. Something so good is happening in prayer that I don't want to miss it. And we have that about other things. And so we put off prayer, but like to flip the script and pray for FOMO of prayer or in prayer. Oh. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool little.
You know what it made me think of?
What's that?
And I don't want to miss a thing.
Wow. I am loving the musical nature.
It's happening, guys. We're going to head over and join us on the app. So you don't miss a thing.
Yeah, and you can. Come on.
We'll go. See you soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. No, why are you?
Oh, whoa. I didn't know it was the guys. Whoa, I'm so sorry.
Whoa, you guys, you've got so many amazing things going on.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, other good DI quotes. Can we look here?
Oh, yes.
Virtue and goodness are strengthened in time of difficulty. Amen. That's the time. It takes great virtue to live in peace with obstinate, perverse, intractable people whose ideas are not like our own. That's family life. That's literally family life.
the day to day.
He's writing about community life, but this is also just writing about being a human being and living in the world. Yeah. It takes great virtue to live in peace with obstinate, perverse, intractable people whose ideas are not like our own. And really, there aren't a lot of people whose ideas are like our own, you know.
Show more. Frequent confession has always been considered in authentic Catholic tradition as a school of perfection, an effective way to correct faults and evil tendencies and to advance in virtue.
Amen. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jan, that's from Divine Intimacy, which actually is in the public domain. You can get it online. You can read it digitally. But the book.
Yeah. I think JP2 went every day. Am I right? Someone said JP2 went once a week.
I heard once a day, but I don't know.
He went a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, thank God he is in charge of our forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Oh, thanks, Megan, for dropping that link.
Confession is hard. Even though I try to go every 3 to 4 weeks, I still always feel very scrupulous around this sacrament.
Yeah.
Any advice to go frequently and not be scrupulous?
Well, I would actually, I want to call upon you all here because I've walked with some of you who I know have been through this particular temptation,
mm-hmm.
who deal with this. So I'm curious, your wisdom, your like hard won wisdom around scrupulosity and confession. So please share that here.
Andrea said, I felt that if I go to confession every week, I feel that if I go to confession every week, I'm taking up space for others to go in the limited time it is offered.
Yeah. I think I hear that. That's coming from like a very sweet place of like love for neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just off by like a degree. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Because you can't actually love your neighbor. We can't actually love our neighbor well with our own sin encumbering that. So one thing I would say just very practically is that the more frequently you go, the better you get at confession.
Mm-hmm.
So when people go in and spend 20 minutes in confession, there are times I have longer confessions, but most of my confessions are under 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I went last week. And so I've got it down. My conscience is sharp. I've prayed. I've prepared. I'm getting right to the point.
Examinations are so key for this.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't take the priest a long time because I've done the discern. Like he's listening with the Holy Spirit. But yeah.
My pastor used to say the sin, not the story. Like I just, yes. I want to get to the sin. Let's go.
That's it.
You know, we don't need a buildup.
That's it. Yeah. So really you're taking up less than 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it's, you're not keeping someone else, you know?
Yeah. I think also there's, if you ever feel like you need a lengthy confession, you can also call your parish office and make an appointment.
And there is such a thing, like on a retreat, there are different graces and there might be more sure. things in depth to share. But generally, I think.
Also, if the Lord is like calling someone to confession, he'll make a way like for everyone, you yeah, know, like
totally.
So we can't limit his 100%. Mercy.
100%.
I feel that if I go, oh, I already read that.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. A lot
that's
of us
awesome,
going,
Michelle. Wow.
A lot of us are
total
going.
Confirmation that's what we're encouraging during Lent is weekly confession. Yeah.
Jen, FOMO is an acronym for fear of missing out. We don't want to miss out on what's happening in prayer with the Lord.
Yeah. Cheryl, come on back.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, sorry. We do say DI a lot with Divine Intimacy.
We're loving so the decoders here on the chat.
I did not know the podcast. Somebody said there's a podcast schedule of DI, and I just thought that was like to know where the readings are. I did not know it was the audio. That's
Rhonda.
Crazy.
Can you send me a link?
Yeah, can you drop the link, Rhonda? I've never seen it.
Yeah,
what's
me
it
either.
Called? Is it called Divine Intimacy? That book is life changing. It's like the best formation ever.
It's also good to remember to renounce lies. Yes, the evil one points to guilt and shame and can get in our head.
Yeah.
Pay attention to that condemnation and call the sweet name of Jesus. He loves you.
Amen.
Mercy and grace abounds. Just keep your eyes on him who loves you.
You already shared it, Rhonda. God bless you.
Yes, Jen. Make an appointment.
Oh,
can
wow.
Open that in a new window so yeah. I don't lose it.
Because
Hello.
I want to find it later.
Okay.
Thanks, friend.
My pastor said to be selfish with confession once when I brought up that worry of taking away from others.
So true. That's good.
Yeah. The evil one gives me a list of reasons not to go.
Yeah, we can't engage in conversation with the enemy. And oftentimes that will come in the voice of like reason. That will sound like there are like good reasons. And this is exactly what Eve did. This has been his strategy from the beginning, to engage us in overthinking and reasoning and present another side. Mm-hmm. But no, we know what the sacrament of confession is. We know in humility who we are and our need, our dependence upon Jesus and his grace. So that's the end of the story. There's no discerning to be done. We need confession.
It's for you. It's for me.
Yeah.
Lizette said something my spiritual director is working on my scrupulosity. Something he advises to look at the motive of things I panic are sins or mortal sins. He also suggested I do a simple examination at the end of the day, not in the light of I'm bad, is to ask the Lord, how can I improve and help me to improve? And then Megan said, I heard a suggestion for scrupulosity regarding punishment and OCD confessing, to meditate every day on God's infinite love and mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's so awesome, Olivia.
Oh, yay.
Love that, Mary Colleen, a family trip to confession. So cool.
Wow.
Your children seeing you love the sacrament goes so far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Leanne, if you're struggling to find a time like I do, I asked and the Lord provided.
That is so good.
I go once a week, but often, Wanda. I do not know what sins to confess, but I know I need God's grace and mercy for my sinfulness.
Yeah, Suzanne, a good examination will help so much. So my two recommendations for examining your conscience are a deeper examination of conscience from spiritualdirection.com. Mm-hmm. That's my go-to. I just literally Google a deeper examination of conscience, and it's the first thing that comes up, spiritualdirection.com. It has I have a sneeze. It went away. It got shy. I got stage fright. Deeper examination of conscience from spiritualdirection.com. And there is a prayer at the beginning for where you are in the spiritual life, like purgative, illuminative, these three stages of the spiritual life. Pray that prayer. So beautiful. So that's my first one. The second one is I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal my sin to me. And it's not usually on the list. It's something like, I had no idea. Thank you. I didn't know that displeased you. I forgot about that. So yeah, asking the Holy Spirit to be the one that examines my conscience for me and tells me. That's my birthday package. Please hold.
Hi. Well, I would say we also just recently put out, and if you were on retreat, you got this, a little examination of conscience booklet on our website. So if you want a little booklet to put in your Bible with you and take while you're waiting in line, that's great too.
Yeah. So good.
Any spiritual reading suggestions for Lent?
Joan, love that question.
The word.
Guess what I'm going to... Oh, Steph, what?
That's it.
That was fire.
Oh.
Okay, I'm gonna add to that, and I'm gonna say, ask the Lord what he wants you to read for Lent. He will tell you a book of the Bible or books, or he will tell you spiritual reading.
Yeah, I think I'm getting one too. I was like, I've been hopping around the Bible recently. I'm doing Bible in a year, and that's fine because I feel like I love the accountability.
Yeah, it's systematic.
But I'm also like, okay, this isn't. I also need something on the side, and so I've been like just kind of hopping around. Yeah. I just finished Psalms, and that was. And I think the Lord's like starting to put other things in my in my path, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
Praying for your priest before going to confession helps.
That's cool, Chaley.
Can I say something about confession?
Please.
I also think that, and I've heard people like say this, and I've felt this before, like that confession wasn't it. You know?
Yeah.
I wanted it to be fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. I wanted to feel more
I don't know, weight lifted off. I wanted my penance to be heavy, whatever the that feels like, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, like, again, I think there's a an opportunity to grow in that trust that the Lord has forgiven me, and that even though it didn't humanly feel the way I wanted it to feel, that experience, that the Lord is still working, that his mercy is as available to me as the perfect confession scenario in my head. So if you ever go to confession and it's just a challenge for you, just trust that the Lord's mercy is abundant in that moment as well. Like, it's not dependent, again, on our standards.
Yeah. Wow. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, Jean prays for the priest after.
That's sweet. Love that, Jan. You're doing the Lent, the Blessed She Lent devotional rescued. I can't do more than one thing or I'll get overwhelmed and want to concentrate on a certain study. So good.
Yeah.
That it's so good to know yourself. It's so good not to dilute your attention and try to take on too many things. That's good discernment.
Yeah. Ooh, the Book of Esther and Ezekiel.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, Jan.
So good.
I also loved last night. We were getting ready for bed, and my husband asked me, he's like, "What are you doing for Lent?" And I was just like, "Oh, I should probably share with you, you know." And then he shared what he's doing with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I spoke it out loud, and I was like, "Okay, here we go. I committed to this."
Wow.
But also, it's just good to know, like, to say it and to have. Not that he's gonna hold me accountable, or I'm gonna hold him accountable, but just that another, and maybe we can.
That's so. No, it's just like, so good that you're sharing your heart.
Yeah.
Because here's what God's doing this Lent.
And now I know where he's at.
Yeah.
And I know I can pray for him very specifically during his Lenten journey with the Lord. But also, like, I can try to find ways to support him indirectly. I'm not, like, taking over his Lent.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, indirectly support him so that he can do the things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good to, again, and this whole thing with Rescued and having this space on the app, it's so beautiful to walk with someone else during this, because I was at, like, I don't know, an event, and someone said, like, I don't know if I should get the devotional because I always start them and I never finish them. And I'm like, well, that's okay, because I've done that plenty of times. But, like, we offer just this space for all of us to come together on the app and just journey. And it's like a I don't know, it's like a free space to share how we're truly experiencing this time. So encourage you to, you know, pray about that and see if that's for you.
Honestly, that's the story of my reading life lately, is that I start a book and I don't finish it. And I'm kind of okay with that. Like, I read as much as I needed to read right now. I got what I needed right now. And, like, I may go back to it and I may not, but I'm not, that's not a verdict on, like, my goodness or my character that I didn't finish a book. Like, I got what I needed to get in this, you know, for this moment.
It's pretty virtuous, Beth.
Well, thanks, because it's hard for me.
Yeah, Lent and life isn't about checking off the list. It's about meeting person of Christ in it.
Yeah. I gave this workshop on retreat about going deeper in prayer. So we offered these two workshops. Flame was about kind of igniting prayer, and Oil was about sustaining prayer. You've already got a flame lit, but you need some fuel, right? And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, I ultimately ended up giving a very different talk than what I had planned.
Classic.
Thanks be to God. It was so the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It was really even a beautiful experience for me to, like, for the Lord to be showing me the things that he's taught me, you know, as I was giving it. But one thing that I wanted to talk about was, like, learning to linger, the importance of just staying with things and not rushing too far ahead, you know, paying attention to what resonates. Like that quote about the window in the sunlight, just, like, pondering that and staying with that and talking to the Lord about that and talking to friends about that. Just lingering with things, lingering with scripture, you know, instead of checking the box and getting all the way through it.
Yeah. I think that's the pace of the devotional. It's like, it's very much just this permission to linger and go back to, you know, these different challenges.
Yeah. Cheryl says it can be hard to slow down. And actually, I think that's one of the graces of developing this lingering posture in prayer is that it does slow you down.
Yeah.
So a very simple way to do this is, instead of starting from scratch every time you sit down to pray, you think, where was the last place I heard, saw, felt the Lord? Mm-hmm. And you go back and then you pick up there. You stay there. You're not trying to rush forward. You're just staying with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Trying to listen to the still small voice of God.
Wow. Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, Mary Green, I've got a prayer question.
Hi, Mary.
What do you know about when you pray and God answers by letting you know that he's heard you, but you don't have an answer to what you asked? Does this have anything to do with what
you're hearing? I mean, yeah, that you're describing relationship with God.
Yeah. I'm giggling because this is like my whole life.
You have to talk about it. Say more.
I just feel like there's a specific, I shared a little while ago, yeah. Like I was just going through a difficult time and like, mm-hmm. I brought it to the Lord and I told him, I'm not having fun, Lord. And he was showing me him like grace everywhere else around me, but like wasn't letting me miss out on it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, hey, I'm still good. Like I'm showing you all these other little things.
It's like proving it.
Yeah. Like, he's like, don't forget. Yeah. So to me, I was just like, okay. So it helped me with that thing that I've brought him, like whatever I was struggling with, that like it's going to be one of those things, you know, he's going to bring it into that mix of like showing me the grace in it. Like, this is still good. So even my time of suffering or loneliness or whatever the struggle is building on or is being strengthened by the grace that he's showing me everywhere else. You know, and so that even that moment of waiting and lingering with the Lord in like the not so great part of my life was a gift because I was able to see him. And so I don't take that time for granted. I don't take that space, that moment of my struggle and feeling like I haven't gotten an answer or you haven't fixed this thing yet, Lord. Mm-hmm. I didn't take that for granted and say, well, that was just a rough patch. Like, got to get back on the saddle and go. Like, he was like, no, like, I want you to look back at that moment and remember all the ways that I showed up and that you were able to witness. Like, I didn't let you skip over that. What are you thinking?
So much. I'm feeling more than thinking, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just very relatable.
What do you know about when you pray and God answers by letting you know that he's heard you, but you don't have an answer to what you ask? A couple of thoughts in my own experience. If we don't have the answer and God is clearly telling us that he's present and he heard, then it must not be time to know the answer. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're doing it wrong, or we didn't ask in the right way, but we have to learn to trust his heart, that he'll share and he'll give and he'll do when it's the right time. And I think if he's showing you himself, oftentimes that is the answer. Mm-hmm. In reality, he is the answer to every question. We have our little prayer agenda and our human concerns, and I'm not trying to, these are deep things, precious things, urgent things at times, but if he's not revealing a cut and dry answer, I think he's inviting you to find that he is the answer. His peace is the answer. His presence, something about his nature or his character is the answer, that he never lets you down, that he always provides, that he's totally present, that he's attentive, that he's listening. You could go very deep with any one of those any one of those traits of God. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. And other things will come. Maybe it's a specific action that he'll instruct you in later. But for right now, if he's showing you himself, it's because he is the answer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's the ultimate life hack.
Yeah. Yeah.
33 Days to Merciful Love by Michael Gately. Father Michael Gately is so good. I did that as my adventure take up and it was so good.
Jamie's hosting a virtual small group tonight. Any advice for icebreaker question? Yeah, two things I always ask in any group or on any retreat. Mm-hmm. How's your heart and what's your hope for this?
That's it. Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Megan said, the Lord invited me to pray with a single scripture passage every day of Lent. It's both intimidating, doubts of whether he'll provide, and so exciting. Mm-hmm. What will he reveal? I'm staying tuned, Megan. Can't wait.
That's good. That's
good. Sarah said, your
that quote is wrecking me, Sarah.
Is my only homeland.
Your face is my only homeland.
St. Therese. Coming back home for Lent and forever after.
Yeah.
I want to cry. Literally imagining his face throughout the day helps me to stay and linger longer.
His face is everything. I was describing this to my spiritual director yesterday. Like, I just fall in love with the contours of his face. Like, when you come to a place in prayer, you just like a look in his eye, you know exactly. You just hear each other without any words. And like, I love like this place under his eye because I've meditated on like his bruised and like busted eye during the passion. And like, so I love this cheekbone on his face and I love like where his beard grows in. I just, you fall in love with his face, which, and like the body reveals, yes. The body reveals God. And so to be able to, this is the Song of Songs that she's describing, like your legs are like alabaster columns. Mm-hmm. Like I've been meditating in prayer. I've like seen Jesus's legs like planted in the middle of a river. And like, he's not being rocked by the water, like rushing at him. The water actually parts around him. Like his legs are like alabaster columns. So just to meditate on his face, on his body on the cross, his body in scripture. This is what I mean by lingering. We're not praying about things anymore. We're praying with a person. We're being with a person.
That's so good, Beth. Mm-hmm. If you haven't experienced seeing his face, I would pray for that. I would ask him to reveal his face to you. And then just take note of what that looks like, you know, how his facial expression is towards you. That could also say a lot about where you need him.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. Yeah. You know? And I, if imaginatively that's hard to picture right away, if you haven't really, if that's a new kind of devotion for you to pray imaginatively, and it's something you can cultivate and the Lord will sanctify your imagination, but start with sacred art. Is there an image of Jesus? Like Sarah's praying with Christ the bridegroom, which is Jesus in the passion, wearing the crown of thorns. That's also known as the holy face, like that devotion. But you could pray with his face, like any image of him that touches your heart. Pray with that. Stay with that.
Okay, let's see. I spent some time in adoration and asked Jesus what he was inviting me to fast from for Lent. And I believe he said sleep. Being a mama to 3 under 5, this seems overwhelming. And I know it will lead to a complete act of faith and trust for me for the next 40 days.
Sorry, can you go up?
Yeah.
Eliana, I'm curious. And take this to prayer. Let this blow away on the wind. When we hear the Lord, we know it's your relationship. You know his voice. But I wonder if rather than subtracting for Lent, he's asking you to add. If he's asking you to sleep, ooh, not to not sleep, because you're already not sleeping.
Take a little nappy nap.
I had a friend for whom God invited her to nap during Lent. And she was a mom of 6, I think, at the time. Little ones. And she was like, there is no way I'm going to be able to nap for Lent. And it revived her heart. It changed her life that the Lord invited her to sleep for Lent.
I napped yesterday on my day off and I was just like, this was great. Yeah. My husband came home from work and he's like, you've been asleep for like 3 hours because you like stopped messaging me. I was like, hey, the Lord knew, and he synchronized all of our naps. And I had three little ones at home at the time, and we all napped for 3 hours.
Praise God.
Great.
That is a miracle.
Yeah.
Wow. Truly.
Or maybe, Eliana, maybe the sacrifice of sleep is 15 minutes less to spend with, so that you can wake up and spend that with him in the morning.
Or it could be just the sleep that you are not getting is different somehow. You're like, as you're up in the night feeding, you're like with him or offering that in a certain way. Anyway, you might have already clarified and I just didn't get to it. But
do you have suggestions of how to sit in that answer of himself when that prayer feels urgent?
I mean, most of my prayers feel urgent. Most of my longing feels very, very urgent. Yeah, I heard this on a podcast, but like a very wise and learned like college seminary professor said it. So even though I can't source it for you, he said that it's in Interior Castle from Teresa of Avila.
Wow.
Or in her writing somewhere, that she said that, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but that we can feel these powerful emotions and the urgency of our prayers, but it's never really going to, we tap out or top out at like 30 minutes. So if you can just stay with it, it will subside. That's it. But oftentimes we go and we're like spinning and we're ranting and then we leave and we're still agitated and then we go back again. But if you can stay and see it through, like sit for the full 30 minutes, tell him all the agitation, all of the frustration, all of the disappointment, get it all out. Oftentimes the Lord doesn't answer me. I'm fully aware of his presence, his attentiveness to me, but he's not saying anything because I have more to say and he's giving me this space. I love in the Psalms when David writes like, Lord, you gave me room when I was in distress. Like so many times he's just saying like, yeah, you're worked up. And honestly, I can't even hear him because I'm so amped, you know? So just stay. That would be my...
I kind of like pray little bullet points throughout the day and I share all of it throughout the day. And then when I have my time of prayer, I'm like, okay, let's unpack, because then I feel like I've already talked to him, or I've already brought it up with him at least earlier in the day, you know? So when I'm unpacking with him, it's like him saying like, okay, let's go a little deeper into this. And then, or hindsight, like, okay, Lord, that was silly of me. We're only going to talk about that one. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll do better, you know? So that's been helpful for me to just kind of check in with him throughout the day and give him those things so that when we unpack, some of that stuff, I just needed some more water or a nap, you know?
Eliana, I just read this. I believe he wants me to have a regular wake up time that I stay faithful to.
Yeah.
See, you know what it is. Thanks for sharing that with us. That must have been for somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you already knew.
It was an interesting balance between staying up later because I had to and not to be ashamed of the fact that I was busy or something. Glad that's over, but it was powerful. Yeah. Oh, she was saying she agreed. I wish my kids understood how much they will want to nap when they are older.
So true.
Agreed.
So true.
Let's see. This space is the only space that does not give me anxiety.
Praise God.
Yes, and yet we love you so much. And I feel the Lord telling me to cut out what gives me anxiety and add more of him.
So
social media is something I'm going to take away and hopefully not just for Lent, for after as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Yesenia, it's just a simple thing, and I'm sure this is what you meant, but just a reminder to offer that to him, not to like take it away yourself. I don't know, there's something about our interior disposition of like, I'm fasting, I need to stop that versus here it is, Lord. I'm like, it's with him, you know? I want you to do Lent with him.
Here's my little loaves and fish, Lord.
Yep. Yeah.
What are we doing with this?
Yeah.
Noel says, I've often wished I could nap mid-afternoon. It's kind of hard in an office, though. Totally. Petitioned for cots.
We had a cot here. Yeah.
In fact. In Spain, if you move to Spain, you can get a little daily siesta.
Yeah. Final thoughts.
The Lord has been inviting me to practice the virtue of temperance this year. Cool. I believe that his answer to me is going to help with this. I will need to practice temperance with my schedule and how I'm spending time in order to prioritize my sleep.
But, I mean, if you want to get up at a certain time, you better believe it starts with the night before. Learning that the hard way over all the years.
Okay, I'm going to share with you guys what one of the things I'm doing. And it's a little thing.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
But it's this. One of the things I'm doing this Lent is I'm intentionally practicing and being, I'm going to participate in Sabbath. So one of my things is I'm going to either clean up Saturday night, do my shopping before Sunday, like groceries for the week, everything. So that's when Sunday comes around, it's a true Sabbath.
Yeah.
But
it takes so much preparation, so much preparation. One Lent, the Lord said I had to be home by 8 o'clock every night. And so like I would have a small group and I'm like, guys, I got to go. I have a curfew for Lent. Mm-hmm. And what it did was it made way for me to have a regular bedtime and to get up at the same time.
I love that.
Yeah.
There are specific virtues, guys, that we can ask the Lord what we need to work on. So I would say encourage you to ask the Lord, like, what virtue do you want me to focus in on? And
what virtue do you want to cultivate in me?
Yes. Yes.
Because it's Him. Mm-hmm.
And
we're dependent.
That's it, guys. So I would ask Him, because you might think it's one thing and He's probably like saying, no, we're going to work on this guy over here first.
Yeah. Love. He gets at the root. So good. Mm-hmm. Steph, pray us out.
Let's do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we are here and we love You, and we love You too. We know that You love us so much and that You are just cheering us on. You know that virtue is for us. You know what You want to cultivate in our hearts, Lord. And so we just ask for humility to step aside and allow You to enter in to all of those areas in our lives that need pruning or just cleaning out or removing, Lord. And so we just ask that You enter in into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds, even into our bodies, Lord, and just make way for Your virtue to just flow so that we always have an inclination and a disposition for good, because You've made us good and You've made us for Yourself, Lord. Mm-hmm. We ask for discipline. We ask for encouragement. And we ask that ultimately this anything that You are calling us to, we are reminded that it's all for relationship with You, that You just love us so much and want us to just be in Your presence always, Lord. We give You all of the thanks and praise. In Your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
That's such good prayer. Thanks, Jeff.
Love that for you.
Guys.
Thank you, guys.
I loved this. I love being with you.
It felt like a pep talk for me. I loved it.
I think it was really orienting. This was so the Lord. This wasn't supposed to be the topic today.
No.
But we had a sick day. Anyway, the Lord lined it up perfectly. I think this conversation about virtue, just really inspiring.
Yes.
Empowering, entering into Lent. Yeah.
Can't wait, guys.
We're praying for you. Love that agreement, Elizabeth.
Ooh.
Love you
guys. Bye, friends.
See ya. Bye.